chapter 3. John chapter number 3. The Gospel of John chapter number 3 this morning. It's probably one of the more famous passages in the Bible, especially the verse that's found in verse 16. But we're not going to look at just verse 16 this morning. We're going to look at this thought, born again. Born again. The series, or what we've been talking about on Sunday morning, sometimes on Sunday night, throughout the month of September, is about how to express her faith, how to show her faith, how to give her faith to other people. We looked at how we're witnesses, and we should tell people what happened to us, what we were before we got saved, what brought us to the point that we realized we needed to be saved, when we were saved, and what's the change in our lives been since then. We also considered last Sunday night talking about the gospel, how telling people how Christ was buried, he was crucified, and how he was buried, and he rose again. And this morning, I look at a little bit of how Jesus deals with an individual, even look at a couple different individuals, because it's fascinating to consider that Jesus spending time with an individual one-on-one, showing him and giving you the way that he presented the gospel, how he talked about the person's need, and the different terminologies and different words. We look at the way he responds to people. Chapter number 3, there's a religious man named Nicodemus we're going to look at this morning. Chapter number 4, there's a woman that was from Samaria. Maria, that represents a worldly individual, someone had been married 5 different times, and someone who probably was very fleshly and living with someone that she wasn't even married to. And so you see chapter 3, you see a person that's really religious. You see in chapter number 4, there's somebody who is probably very worldly. Chapter number 5, you see an impotent man that's sitting by the side waiting for the water to be stirred by the angel and expecting to get relief and help from somewhere else. And Jesus speaks to all of them and helps each of them because he cares about the individual. He cares about the soul. You know, our friend for theme day this year is a faithful friend, and that's exactly what he is. He is a faithful friend because he cares for each and every person. You can't find someone that he doesn't care. You can't find someone that he doesn't love. You can't find someone that you cannot give the gospel to. And in each of these cases, and you continue on throughout the scriptures, they all have a certain need, and that need is Jesus Christ. It needs to be born again. And that's an interesting terminology. Some people think, well, why in the world would they use the words born again? What is it about the birth that would cause people to consider that? And there's a couple things I thought about. Birth is common and miraculous. Most people understand the concept of birth is common to all people, yet it's the giving a new life. It truly is miraculous in every way. There can be no life without birth. Also, you think about birth as a new beginning. A new child has no past. A new child has only a future. A newborn baby begins with a clean record. The Bible says that we're a new creature in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Birthplaces puts us into a family. Birth represents belonging. The new birth places us into the family of God. We are belong to our Heavenly Father. And it says in John chapter 1, verse number 12. Birth happens in a moment. There is an instant where new life begins. And likewise, in a moment, a man is made new in Christ. So there's a reason why Jesus uses his words, born again. And let's go ahead and read John chapter 3 and look at verses 1 through 16 and see the new start that Nicodemus needed. Say the new start, well, that's the reality. If we all need a new start. Each and every single one of us need a new start. If I came to you and said, hey, would you like a new start in a certain area? Probably most of us would say, definitely yes. I would like to begin this again. I'd like to do this differently. I'd like to try this again. I see, I've learned, I could grow from these mistakes. And that's what the Bible is referring to, that you can have a new start when you get a new heart. And that only happens when we allow God to work in our lives and understand the importance of being born again. So the purpose of this morning's message is to help us learn how to deal with different individuals, specifically a religious individual, and then also considering the worldly individual as the story goes along. But we're going to read chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 16 and jump into the message, born again. There was a man of the Pharisees, and we know a little bit about the Pharisees. We see that we know that the religious leaders of the day, they would have been very ritualistic. They would have done many things to try to gain favor of God and to woo the people. They would have fasted often. They would have had great knowledges of the Old Testament scriptures. And it says he was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. a ruler of the Jews. So not only was he just a Pharisee, he was a ruler. Later on, it says a master in Israel. Verse number 2, the same came to Jesus by night. So we see him coming to Jesus, and that's a beautiful phrase, and said unto him, Rabbi. So he respects him. He calls him a teacher, a leader. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. So he is giving him flattery, giving him compliments, treating him with respect, because this is the knowledge he has. He has this knowledge. He's seen the miracles. He's heard the teachings. He responds to this. We know that you're a rabbi, that we know that you've come from God. And then he goes on to say, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So people have to understand who God is. Before they ever truly ever going to be saved, they have to know that they're a sinner and that who God is. And that's what he's teaching them. This is what I know about you. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Jesus interrupts him and he says to him, okay, that's what you know, but this is what you need to know. You have a knowledge about me. You know you've heard the teaching. You've seen the miracles. You can't deny the miracles. No one could deny the miracles when a person who had been lame for his entire life and he heals him. There's no denying the miracles. And he says, that's the knowledge you have. Now, this is the knowledge that you need. You need to be born again. And of course, what the response here is he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I think in the reference here, he's saying the kingdom of God because that's what Nicodemus is seeking. Everybody thought Jesus was going to start that new kingdom. Everybody thought he was going to become king right then, get rid of the Roman government. And the Pharisees, they saw the teaching, they heard the teaching, they saw the miracles, and they wanted to attach themselves with Jesus. And they wanted to become Jesus, work Jesus to work with them, to get rid of the Roman government and be able to establish his kingdom. But when Jesus says, that's not what you need to be born again. Many of them, of course, we know the religious leaders and the Pharisees from when we looked in the Gospel of Luke, they didn't want anything to do with him anymore because he wasn't willing to play their game. It keeps on going. It says, number 4, verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So the response, Nicodemus doesn't understand. There was something that they needed to understand here. Verse number 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, referring to natural birth, and of the Spirit, referring to a spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's saying, look, this is the only way that you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. This kingdom of God you're interested in setting up in this world is not going to happen for you unless you're born again. Verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. The flesh is only going to reproduce the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and the Spirit can only reproduce the Spirit. Verse number 7, he says, marvel not. He says, don't get distracted in this. Don't lose sight of the big picture here. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And then he begins to talk about a mystery, in a sense, the mystery of the Spirit and how the Spirit works. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And you see, Nicodemus is sincere here, and he asks this question, I don't understand this. And he wants Jesus to explain to him. He's not being haughty. He's not being arrogant. He's not being prideful. He has come to him as a Pharisee trying to enlist Jesus, but instead he gets confronted with, you must be born again, and he says, how can these things be? And Jesus begins to explain, verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? Not only is he a ruler, he's a master of Israel and knows not these things. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. The truth was given and they choose to ignore. Verse number 12, I have told you earthly things and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And then he begins to describe what Jesus' role here in the salvation of man. Verse number 13, and no man have ascended to heaven, referring that no man's going to get up to heaven, no man's going to get to experience heaven, the kingdom of God. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. They remember Nicodemus and the religious leaders there, they thought they could work their way to heaven. They thought their good works was going to put them in good favor, and that they could continue and work and continue doing things, and they were going to get to heaven. But he says, you can't get there on your own, but the Son of Man came down. And then he says, not only, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So he says, just as that Son of Man came down, he must also be lifted up, referring to the cross, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He says, there's a gift there. It's eternal life that can be given. You can have that as a possession. And then he says that famous verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's some verses here. Verse number 3, he uses a thing. He says, a man be born again, except a man be born again. Verse number 5, he says, a man born of water and of the Spirit. Verse number 7, ye must be born again. 3 distinct times Jesus told Nicodemus, he and all men must be born again. And when Jesus says something, it's important. When Jesus repeats it twice, it's even more important. When Jesus repeats it multiple times, he's trying to teach him something. Nicodemus was interested in something different. Nicodemus was interested in how to gain God's favor, how to work his way to heaven, how to use Jesus, and how to manipulate Jesus to be king and take care of the things he wanted him to take care of. But Jesus says, look, marvel not. Don't be distracted. He says, you have to be born again. And he says something else. He says, look, you need to be born of the Spirit. He says something else. He says, you must be born again. It's not that Nicodemus is confused. Jesus isn't changing his message. Sometimes when you deal with someone who is religious or is stuck in some type of religious cult or religion that is by works, or they'll try to change the question around. They'll try to keep on saying things and try to distract you from the issues. And Christ could not be detoured from the truth that Nicodemus needed to hear. Nicodemus needed to hear that he needed to be born again. And we must be willing to give the message, even though it might not be initially received. We must consider and give the message over and over and over. And we must continue on telling people. We must continue on inviting people. We must continue on in the work, even if they don't hear the first time, even if they don't grasp the first time. Why is that? Because they must be born again. There is no other hope. There is no other help but through a spiritual birth. See, the Lord Jesus met people where they were. You look at chapter number 3, you see the story of Nicodemus. He comes to him at night. Jesus and this man is looking for Jesus' help in political kingdoms. Chapter number 4, Jesus goes and said he must needs go through Samaria. And for the sake of time, we're not going to go through all the whole story with it. But he's there at the well, and the woman comes, and she's carrying her pot. Jesus asks for a drink from her, and she says, you're a Jew. You don't deal with the Samaritans. Why in the world are you even listening to me? Why are you even talking to me? But there was 2 different needs. There was what the religious man needed and what the woman at the well needed. They both needed to be born again, but he met them where they were. He didn't use the same lines with Nicodemus as he did with the other woman, because there was different needs there. It came to the same purpose. It came to the same reasoning. But we need to be led by the Holy Spirit of God and let God help us in our encounters and our witnessing opportunities. That Jesus met people where they were. He did not leave them where they were, that's for sure, but he accepted people as they were, and as he accepted the people as they were, he led them to the truth. He dealt with sinners differently in different ways, but he came to the same realization: they needed a Savior. They needed to be born again. Now, say, Pastor, we know all this. The most difficult thing. I don't think salvation is difficult. I think sometimes people try to make it difficult. But the difficulty lies in helping people and helping a sinner understand that they admit that they're a sinner. Not even just admitting that they have a sinful condition, but they have a need for a Savior. That repentance is necessary. Repentance is indeed an acknowledging of the truth. In order for a man to be saved, he must realize that he is lost. This is the work of the Scriptures and of the Holy Spirit of God. And in this sermon this morning, I want you to understand that Nicodemus had to get lost. Nicodemus thought he was okay. Nicodemus thought he was right. Nicodemus thought he was on his way to heaven. He was a ruler in Israel. He was a master in Israel. And you're going to meet people all the time that says, hey, I don't need God, or I already have a good relationship with God. I already know him, who has never truly ever been born again, who's never ever really saw themselves as a sinner, and because of their sin, they're lost and on their way to hell. There's lots of people who don't understand that, and that's what we need to help explain to them. As Jesus does to Nicodemus, he must be born again. So here's point number one. Point number one is the new birth is for every sinner. The new birth is for every sinner. John chapter 3 and John chapter 4 provide a beautiful picture that all men need salvation. It's a picture there. You could not get somebody more religious than Nicodemus, a master and ruler in Israel, and you could probably not get someone any more sinful than this woman in Samaria. It was during the high noon of the day. It says that she comes out to do the watering. Nobody does that in the high noon of the day because that's the hardest work. Why would she do that? It's because usually the ladies were the ones that went and got the water, and probably no women wanted to be around this other woman. She was probably ostracized. The women probably wouldn't stand her and couldn't stand her. She would go out herself, and she'd do this by herself. It's because of the fact that no one wanted to be with her. Over here, you got a ruler and you got a master, and people would probably look up to him, maybe even worship him. Even when he's walking on the sidewalk, they would get off the sidewalk just so he could walk by, and they probably look at him and say, oh, there's a ruler, there's a leader, there's a spiritual man. Over here, they would never say that about that woman. But it's beautiful how it's there in chapter number 3 and it's there in chapter number 4, back to back, that Jesus cares about both, and he's interested in both, and he wants both, and that every person, the new birth is for every man, men and women, religious and worldly, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, all races. Christ died for all and desires all to have experience and new life. A couple of things I want you to hear, how he is remembered. Nicodemus was number one, verse number one, was a man. You say, that's obvious, but think about it. It acknowledges that all people, not and just doesn't who you are, need Christ. You think about what this says in Romans chapter number 3. As it is written, listen, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Even goes as far as saying, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why Jesus is saying to Nicodemus the same message he says to all, you must be born again. It's not about your works. It's not about what you've done and who you're related to. Have you been born again? And that's what Nicodemus didn't get it. Nicodemus didn't understand it. Nicodemus says, well, how can these things be? So when you deal with people, it comes to this question, have you been born again? Have you had a time in your life when you've asked Christ to save you? Not only was Nicodemus a man, Nicodemus was also a master. He referred to him as a master in Israel. He also referred to him as a ruler in Israel. This was a religious person. He knew the Old Testament law frontwards and backwards. He had great traditions. He was faithful in all his practice. He was well respected. He needed, but the question was not what type of guy he was. It was the fact that he needed to be born again. Even if you have no family background, even if you have no religious training, even if you have no knowledge of the scriptures, we all still must be born again. In the same chapter of Romans chapter number 3, he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, there is no exemption to the fact that we all come to Christ the same way. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not going to get to God any other way. And so as we sit there and we go and talk, and we go to talk to people who have different opinions and have different thoughts and have different understandings how to get to God, we go to what Jesus said, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and we see what Jesus says, and Jesus says that all men everywhere must repent, that all men everywhere must be born again. And the point is, the new birth is for every man. Second point is, the new birth is found only in the Savior. It's found only in the Savior. Verse number 2 in this story says, it says, the same came to Jesus by night. They came to Jesus. I love that expression. They came to Jesus. I know that in that expression, that point in time, he wasn't coming to Jesus to become a disciple. He wasn't coming to Jesus to get his heart right. He was coming to Jesus with ulterior motives, but they came to Jesus. And the Bible says, and John, it says 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. A person who comes to Jesus is someone that he will not cast out. Nicodemus declared what he knew. You go back and you look at verse number 2, he declared him that he was a teacher, that he came from God, that he was a miracle worker, that he was, you know, he had an understanding about some of what Jesus was. So what does Jesus do? And I can imagine probably the people you minister and you witness to today, the people you go up to try to give the gospel to, they might have a knowledge of Jesus. They might have a knowledge of God. They might say, yeah, I know that's the guy that died on the cross. And they have a limited understanding of who he is. But he also tells them, how can these things be? Nicodemus discovered there are things that he did not know. How can these things be? So there's when you speak to people, and unfortunately in the day and time, the younger generation we have and people that are 30 and under, when I talk to them, sometimes they know nothing about Jesus. Most people above 30 will say, yeah, I know who Jesus is. And whether they believe or don't believe, they have an understanding, a little bit of limited knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, just like Nicodemus had a limited knowledge on who Jesus was. He was a teacher, Nicodemus. He was a miracle worker, but he did not understand who he truly was. He did not understand that not only was he just a teacher, he was the truth of God. He did not understand that not only was he a miracle worker and that he was from God, that he was actually God. And in verse number 9, Nicodemus says, look, how can these things be? He doesn't understand the essential truth that's found for eternal life. So when you speak to someone, they're going to come to you and say, yeah, this is what I know about Jesus. Okay, that's a good working knowledge. Let's start from there and let's show you what Jesus says. And he says, you must be born again. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. He says that there's something that you must do in your life in order to be right with him. And you say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I want you to understand you're going to deal with people all the time. Even in this room this morning, there might be some people that have a knowledge of God, but never come to a realization that, hey, because of my sin, I'm lost and I need a Savior. I recognize him as God. And you have to have a knowledge that you're a sinner. You have to have an understanding who Jesus was. Verse number 13, it talks about how Christ alone came down from heaven. Verse 14 talks about how Christ would be lifted up on the cross, just as Moses lifted up the serpent. In verse 15, Christ offers eternal life to all who will believe. Verse 16, Christ's sacrifice is evidence that God loves all people and does not want them to perish. The new birth is God's offer of new life, but it only comes through Jesus Christ. So you come to the spot and you realize, number one is, new birth is for every person. It needs to happen. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to be in a right relationship with God, you must be born again. Religion will not save you. It's just a belief and understanding, a limited belief and understanding of who God is. That's not going to save you. There has to be a time in your life where you've been born again. Nicodemus knew all that. You could probably list Nicodemus' works and all the things that Nicodemus did. And he's saying to Nicodemus, that religious man that had been working all his life and doing all these religious and all these spiritual things, he says, look, you have a little bit of a knowledge, but you need to be born again. You need to be converted. And it's not worth messing with your eternity. And the next thing is, the third thing, and the last thing is, new birth is the work of the Spirit. New birth is the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws. The Holy Spirit is the one that it says here in verse number 6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. All three members of the Godhead are connected to the new birth. The new birth makes us a child of the Heavenly Father. He's the one that sent his Son. The new birth comes through the Son and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross. And according to Christ's own word in verses 5 through 8, the new birth is a work of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has not sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's showing you that the spiritual birth is a necessity. The spiritual birth is a reality. It says, just like you have to be born in water, you also have to be born of the Spirit. And that which is of the flesh is of the flesh, and that's what is the Spirit is Spirit. So what the Bible's saying here says, just as much as there is a reality that you had a physical birth, there must be a day and a time when you had a spiritual birth. There, do you have that? I mean, here's the reality is that there's just as much as you were born naturally, you must also be born spiritually, and the spiritual birth is a reality. It's just as real as the physical birth, and it's just as unique. Just as flesh never becomes spirit, spirit never becomes flesh, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Men must have both physical and spiritual parts. The body, the flesh, is different than the soul and the spirit. The new birth, true salvation, is not a surface work. It is a work that only comes through the Holy Spirit of God. The new birth is not something that a man can produce. It's not something that a man can work to. It's the Holy Spirit of God. A flesh cannot produce a spirit. The Holy Spirit works through scriptures. The Bible talks about being born again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we sit there and we think about it. How do you talk to somebody that's religious? How do you talk to somebody that's spiritual? How do you talk to someone who thinks that they're right, who thinks they're okay, but never truly been born again? You tell them, look, God says that every person needs to be born again. You show them that the only way you can be born again is through the Savior, and it's a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses scriptures, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God. The Holy Spirit also works through witnesses. He's called us. He empowers us, and he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And he says, ye shall be witnesses. And in Acts 1:8, he talks about the power that's going to come, the Spirit that's going to come upon them, and they're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work for us. So how in the world do we talk to a person who's religious and in need of God? You can't do it yourself. You say, Pastor, I know all that, but have you told anybody else? The point of the message is for anyone that's here today thinking that my religion's going to save me, my work is going to save me. Jesus is looking at the man that probably did more works and more religion than any of us in this room, and he looks at him and says, that's not enough. You have to be born again. You go to an individual who's depending upon their works, depending upon paying their penance, a person who's depending upon all the things that they could or could not do, and he says, Jesus says, that's not enough. You must be born again. And that's why the world's in need. There is a great, John chapter 3, Nicodemus, he had a need. He needed a new start. He needed to be born again. John chapter 4, the woman at the well needed to be born again. John chapter number 5, the impotent man who thought that the stirring of the water was going to heal him up. He had a greater need than being an impotent man. He needed Christ. So every person you come across and every person that you see, they have a need. They need Christ. They need to be born again. Don't justify and saying, oh, that's a good person. That's a person who does a lot of good things. That's a person. Jesus would look at that person and say, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. And that's why we need to tell people that. We have so many friends. We have so many family members. We have so many people in our lives that we come by and pass by. And we just think, okay, they must be saved. I mean, you ever heard that before? They got to be saved. They have to have it. They've been going to that church for so long. They seem so sincere. They this, they that. That's just works. Jesus is looking at a man that I'm sure that the majority of the people would have said, that guy's going to heaven someday. But Jesus sees him differently. And he says, you're going to have to be born again. This week when you're considering who to invite to Friend Day, who to give a tract to, whoever, you got to remember, it doesn't matter how good they look or how worldly they look. It doesn't matter how polished they are like a Nicodemus, how worldly they may look like the woman at the well, or how hard they look because they are impotent or they have a disease or they have a hardship. They all need to be born again. And you think about it, and I want to encourage you and to get this understanding is that you can't give the wrong person the gospel. The Bible doesn't record that Nicodemus gets saved here. The Bible does say later on in chapter 7, verses 50 through 53, there is an openness that Nicodemus has about the message that he received that night. John chapter number 19, he's the one that helps Joseph of Arimathea and becomes not only a disciple, he's a follower of Christ, but he lets everyone know he's a follower of Christ. So did he get saved that night? Is he still working on it in chapter number 7? Is it not chapter number 19? My thinking is that once he saw what Christ did on the cross, that's when he truly gave his heart over to Christ. You can argue with me if you want. But he needed to be born again. He needed to. I don't know we live with people sometimes that we know have no interest in the things of God. They need to be born again. They need that fresh start. The person that has the great need with the physical needs, the person that had the worldly needs, and the people that are religious all need to be born again, just like we did. We needed that new start. There had to be a time and a moment in our life when someone spoke to us. But more importantly, the Holy Spirit spoke to us, and the Holy Spirit drew us and said, this is something that you need. You have never been born again. You've never accepted Christ. You've never saw yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior and put your faith and trust in Him. A limited knowledge of God, a limited knowledge of who Jesus Christ is not enough. So let me encourage you this morning. Ask you this question. Have you been born again? There's a story that's told about a man named Tony Bollamore. Hopefully I pronounced his name right, but if I didn't, he'll never know. Tony Bollamore was sailing alone and deep in the Southern Ocean in January of 1997. When his yacht hit a 5-story wave, it turned upside down and pinned Bollamore inside the cockpit. With limited supplies and frostbitten fingers, he sat alone in that tiny dark space for 4 days. All hope was lost that he would be found, but late on Wednesday night, the wreckage was spotted and the sailors were able to perform a rescue mission. Amazingly, Bollamore survived. When interviewed by reporters later, Tony Bollamore said, "It was like being born all over again. A new start, a new opportunity for life, brings hope out of despair. The one thing greater than physical rescue is spiritual salvation. All men must be born again." This man says, "It was just like I was being born all over again. I was giving another chance." And when we truly come to God, truly come to Him through Jesus Christ, we have been given a new start, a new spiritual start. It's just like being born over again. So this morning, how many of us need to be born again? And don't get me wrong. The Bible speaks of eternal life. The Bible speaks of everlasting life, that once you accept Christ, you don't have to do it again. I'm not trying to confuse people. But I'm also helping you understand that there is a understanding of more than just knowing a little bit about Him. Nicodemus had a knowledge about Him. Nicodemus knew the law. Nicodemus did a bunch of good things. But he needed to be born again. Have you ever been born again? Let's have everybody stand to their feet.